All right, the meeting of the Workforce Committee is now called to order. 1 minute late, it's now 3:22. And with that, will you please take roll?
Chair Del Carlo?
Here.
Vice Chair Tarkanian? Regent Brown? Here. Regent Downs?
Here.
Regent Perkins?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. And I couldn't hear. Is Regent Tarkanian on, Vice Chair?
We don't see her.
Okay. Thank you very much. With that, we'll go to public comment. Is there public comment in ELCO?
There is no public comment in ELCO.
Thank you. How about public comment in Las Vegas?
There is no public comment in Las Vegas.
Thank you so much. Is there any public comment in Reno? Reno, hello.
There's no public comment.
No public
here.
Comment.
Reno? God, you guys, this is tricky. Okay, thank you very much. And with that, we'll go on to item number 2, and I will entertain a motion for the approval of the minutes.
So moved, Regent Perkins.
Second, Regent Downs.
Thank you, Regent Perkins and Regent Downs, for our motion and our second. Is there any corrections or additions or anything else? Hearing none, I'll ask for a yay for everyone for approval of the minutes.
Aye.
Aye.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, the minutes pass as written. And item number 3 is the chair's report. I'm really going to forego that today. I'm on a very hard stop at 4 o'clock. I am, as you can see, I have a beautiful wood roof here, and I'm in a cabin in Idyllwild, California. My nephew's getting married at 5 o'clock today, and I have to be picked up at 4:30, ready to go. So as you can see, I haven't changed yet. So we're going to be done on time. Okay, with that, we will go to Dr. Natalie Brown, who I'm so pleased has joined ENCHI as the Assistant Vice Chancellor for Workforce Development and Community Colleges, and she's going to do a presentation on non-credit workforce programs. Take it away, Dr. Brown.
Thank you, Chair and members of the Workforce Committee. Dr. Natalie Brown, Assistant Vice Chancellor for Workforce Development and Community Colleges, for the record. I'm here today to provide an overview of non-credit workforce programs, what these programs look like across the state, and highlights from each of our institutions offering non-credit programs. All right, first, what is a non-credit workforce program? So a non-credit workforce program is a course or a program that does not result in the awarding of academic credit. They provide opportunities in the labor market through skill improvement or job training. Individuals select non-credit workforce programs to learn new skills, take specific courses for personal or professional enrichment. And from an institutional standpoint, students are typically managed outside of the primary student information systems where degree-seeking students apply and are admitted to our institutions. To give you an idea of the diversity of these programs, I've listed a few here, including Associate Professional in Human Resources, with exam voucher, 156 hours, basic EKG, 1 week, certified medical administrative assistant, 6 months, 160 hours. There's two programs there. Cybersecurity bootcamp certificate, 9 to 12 months, Lean Six Sigma green belt, 1 week.
Wow.
Board policy speaks to non-credit workforce programs and courses, but very briefly. The first applicable board policy included here is found in Title IV, Chapter 17, Section 18, under fees for community service, continuing education programs, and other self-supporting programs. So this policy states that all community service, continuing education, and other self-supporting programs shall be budgeted separately from the regular state appropriated budget in each institution. Also, that credit given for community service shall be applicable to an associate in general studies degree. And fees shall be variable and flexible to cover the costs. Authority to set such fees is delegated to the president. and no capital improvement fees or student activity fees shall be assessed for these courses, and courses shall be wholly supported from registration fees, not from state appropriated funds. The next applicable board policy is found in Title IV, Chapter 14, Section 21, and for the record, the title of this policy is Credit by Examination. This policy states that credit by examination can be utilized for determining credit for prior learning, and each institution shall establish procedures for administering and accepting credit by examination. The established procedure must be outlined in the institutional course catalog, and there is a 25% limit on credits earned through credit by examination as applicable to credit-bearing programs. So now that we've discussed what a non-credit program is and applicable board policy, I want to share some distinctions between credit and non-credit programs. For credit-bearing programs, completion results in skill certificates, certificates of achievement and degrees. Learning is recorded as academic credit posted to an official transcript. Time frame to completion, 1 semester to 4 years. And as a comparison, non-credit workforce programs may result in certifications, learning recorded as workforce credential for a program completed, and the time frame is completely variable and can be as short as 1 day. Funding for credit-bearing programs is shared by the state and student. Non-credit programs are self-supported through student or employers paying the cost. Both have opportunities available to assist with funding, but in slightly different avenues, which I'll discuss more in a subsequent slide. Some advantages of workforce programs include a quicker return on investment for student or employers. This may serve as a first entry point for students with programs as short as a day to a few weeks. This is often a simpler process for enrollment for students, and with many programs not tied necessarily to the academic calendar, there's a lot of variability when students may enter or exit these programs. Students can upskill quickly in specific course content to advance their careers, transition into new ones, and add new credentials to a resume. And finally, institutions can adjust to meet employer needs easier and often faster than credit programs. Some potential disadvantages of non-credit workforce programs, aside from self-funding, availability of grants and other aid is typically tied to specific programs and or training. So let's think about the Sandy Grant or NIA Grant funding opportunities are just two examples of some funding opportunities available to the non-credit workforce programs. This is different from what we often think of as financial aid, tied to completing FAFSA and meeting credit enrollment and completion thresholds. Next, students in non-credit programs do not count towards enrollment for funding purposes. And finally, credit may be gained for academic degrees, but is not guaranteed, and the process relies on set procedures outlined by the specific institutions. Across the system, there are approximately 330 programs offered in non-credit workforce space. Now, this number does vary dependent upon the need and demand of programs, as well as upon the definition of what we call a workforce program. So when we get into some of the institutional slides, you'll see there's quite a bit of variability between what one institution calls a program, another might call a course, or another might call maybe not a workforce program, might be under personal enrichment. So there's quite a bit of variability here. But the average length is approximately 18 weeks when looking at the full cadre of programs that we receive from institutions. And they range from 1 day to 2 years in length. From this chart, you can see program pricing is also variable and dependent upon the cost of each program. The majority of programs fall under the $3,125 price point, with a few costing more than $5,000 for an individual program. And again, keep in mind that many of these programs in in-demand sectors have aligned funding opportunities tied to the program through grants or employer-paid training. The top five targeted industries, as self-identified by our ENSHE institutions, are healthcare, computer, medical, operations, and business. And again, you'll see here some of our institutions split amongst one institution might have programs in healthcare as well as medical, and other institutions might have put all of those types of programs under healthcare for instance. So again, quite a bit of variability in what sector is targeted by each of these institutions and what we all call them amongst ourselves. But these top five areas represent 48.5% of all non-credit workforce programs offerings. And we're now going to shift and look at each of our institutions, the top five programs at each institution, and the institution selected program highlight. All right, first, the College of Southern Nevada, 9 non-credit programs offered. And keep in mind, one of these programs might mean 30-plus types of programs within one of these bigger umbrella programs. So it could be quite a bit more, and again, a little bit different than what some of the other institutions had done. But there's 9,508 students enrolled to date, FY23. Top five programs include Adult Career Education Services, Healthcare, Motorcycle Safety, Business Development, and Assessment Services. Their selected program highlight is in Advanced Manufacturing CNC Machining. CSN selected this program to highlight as there is a projected increase in employment opportunities of 8.48%. The regional workforce and talent pipeline development includes the Education Training Center in West Las Vegas and Center of Excellence in Henderson. And Haas Automation has invested in the program in region for business operations. Next up, we have Great Basin College. So 26 non-credit career training programs with 80 headcount enrollment in FY22. And specifically separating out those that they considered non-credit workforce versus other non-credit programs. Their top five programs include commercial driver's license, CDL Class A training, data analytics 1 and 2, Python Developer 1, certified paralegal, and clinical dental assistant. The program GBC selected to highlight is the commercial driver's license, CDL Class A training program. They selected this program as the model has been highly successful, and 100% of the students who have completed in the past 2.5 years have also passed their state licensing exam. Now, Truckee Meadows Community College, offering 150 non-credit programs with 131 enrollments for FY23 year-to-date. Top five programs include clinical medical assistant, pharmacy technician, certified administrative assistant certificate, medical billing and coding, and certified medical administrative assistant. Their selected program highlight is the clinical medical assistant program. The CMA program offers an apprenticeship with Renown Health through partnership with the Nevada Alliance for Youth Apprenticeship Grant. This program can serve as an entry point for various careers in life sciences, allied health, public safety, and certificates and degrees within TMCC. Western Nevada College, offering 70 non-credit programs and 177 enrollments year-to-date. Their top five programs include Commercial Driver Training Program, Medical Billing and Coding, Python Developer, Certified Clinical Medical Assistant, and Data Analyst. Their selected program highlight is the Commercial Driver Training Program. This program is WNC's highest enrolling and fastest growing non-credit workforce program. In the last year, the program more than doubled its student capacity, increased its fleet by 3 tractors and 2 trailers, obtained $700,000 in federal grant funding, and program graduates earning an average of $27 per hour immediately upon graduation of this 5-week program. The University of Nevada, Las Vegas offers more than 50 programs with 750 enrollments in individual programs and over 4,000 enrollments in individual courses. Their top five programs include Cybersecurity Bootcamp Certificate, Nursing Assistant Certificate Preparation, Software Development Certificate, Community Manager Certification Preparation, and a 3-way tie for 5th between Paralegal Certificate, Advanced Project Management Certificate, and Grant Academy Certificate. Their selected program highlight is the Advanced Project Management Certificate Program. This certificate blends online and face-to-face components with simulation labs and PMP exam preparation. The program can be completed in just 6 months at a cost of $3,925, which is comparatively low when considering the median annual wage for project management specialists in Nevada is $83,660.
Wow.
And the University of Nevada, Reno, where 22 non-credit programs are offered with 2,575 enrollments. Top five programs offered include professional development electives, supervisory management certificate, Kids University, Gaming Management Institute, and a human resources management certificate. The Kids University is their selected program highlight. It's a robust year-round program for youth ages 8 to 14 that coincides with the Washoe County School District break schedule. These programs serve all youth in the community, with an addition of a teen university and leadership program to be launched in the summer of 2024 that will include ages 15 to 17-year-olds, creates a new pipeline of potential first-year university students who have become accustomed to the campus and programs available for their first step into higher education at the University of Nevada, Reno. And with that, I conclude the presentation and welcome your questions regarding non-credit workforce programs.
Thank you very much. Does anyone on the committee have a question for Vice Chancellor Brown?
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead, Regent. Or you see anybody? Let me see first if there's anybody on the on our committee. Anybody on the committee have a question? Hearing none. Okay, go ahead, Regent Whalen.
Nah, the committee members are scared. I'll go ahead. Dr. Brown, your gaming management institute that was on the last slide, I've heard about that before, but you didn't mention anything about how long it takes or what it costs. And is that combined with, or do you have anything to do with the Gaming Management Institute here, or Gaming Institutes and UNLV? Is there any information on that?
For the record, Natalie Brown, Assistant Vice Chancellor for Workforce Development Community Colleges. Thank you for the question. We do have a pretty inclusive spreadsheet from all of the institutions with the information regarding non-credit workforce programs, the length of time, the cost, the sector. We did provide a high-level overview for the presentation on what is offered institution-wide and then breaking down. So each institution did get to select their program highlight as well as list out their top five. So in that information, it was a lot to include on one individual slide, but I'd be happy to share that information. I do think there's going to be some room to work with the institutions to ensure that we are comparing apples to apples, as there is a lot of differentiation and variation between what one institution considers a non-credit workforce program versus another. But yes, we can definitely share that spreadsheet.
I'll be amiss if I didn't say that thank you for the presentation. It was really good, and you are right. There's a ton of information. Like I said, I already knew about some of it because I think you're doing a great job, great presentation. And yes, let's talk about it, and you can bring me up to point, all right?
Yes, of course.
Thank you, ma'am. It's a request.
Chair,
hey,
Carlo.
Are there any... Is that Regent Brown?
Yeah. I do have a
comment. Go ahead, Regent Brown.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to give Regent Boylan some time. First of all, I want to say thank you. This is really helpful. I know we've had conversations about the purpose of the Workforce Committee. How do we actually add value to our institutions? Does it make sense to allocate 2 hours a year to something that's so vital if it's not actually going to produce something? And I think this is a really good conversation. I'll wait for one of my comments in new business, but, and I do apologize to the presidents because I didn't get a chance to ask you. I didn't think about it until we were talking, but like, maybe this is just a suggestion for when we have our funding study, because I do feel like so much of our institutions have non-credit programming. And I don't understand why that doesn't get included in enrollment. That takes time, energy, focus. We're helping people enter into the workforce. These are all positive things. So if you're telling me it doesn't get, I thought you were. Okay, sorry. Darn, I thought I was going to have a lifeline over there. If you're telling me that these non-credit programs don't get included in the enrollment, I think we're shooting ourselves in the foot, because I want to see more non-credit programs. I want to see more community partnerships. I think that's a really strong, unique part of our system that allows that, especially at the community college level. And so I think it's just more of a frustrated comment I wanted to just put for the record that we don't have that.
All
Okay, thank you, Regent Brown. And Regent Carballo has a question.
Thank you, Chair Del Carlo. I just have a question on the slides, the numbers that are on the left-hand side. Some of them look a little weird to me, so I wasn't sure if maybe you could speak to some of those. I don't know if you want specific examples, Great Basin and TMCC. I'm just not sure where these numbers were pulled from, and maybe you're nodding your head, so maybe you have an answer for me. Thank you.
Sure. Natalie Brown, for the record. This is really one of those opportunities, I think, to create a more common language across the system and systematize, you know, what we consider a non-credit workforce program. It is one of the items that definitely came to light when asking questions about total enrollments in non-credit workforce, workforce programs, for instance, on the non-credit side, because every institution does define what falls under that umbrella a little bit differently. And so it is, I think, definitely an opportunity to really dive into what constitutes a workforce program in the non-credit space and, you know, make sure that we are talking about the same thing, especially when we're having conversations about, you know, what is happening within the state. If we're talking about it differently, it's very difficult, I think, to, you know, have that understanding across the state.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And that goes to Chancellor Urquiaga's term, systeminess. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. I take back systematized to systeminess.
Thank you very much. And thank you for the question, Regent Carballo, because I've also gotten a couple text messages to me saying basically the same thing. And it is something we're going to have the vice presidents work with Dr. Brown on making. We got to all understand it the same way, so we're comparing apples to apples and oranges to oranges. So it will, at the next meeting, have a correction to this. Okay. So, is there any other questions?
Regent DeCaller, Regent Perkins here.
Yes, Regent Perkins.
I just wanted to echo what Regent Brown said. If we really believe in workforce development, then we need really be putting our money where our mouth is. And if the credits don't apply to the FTEs, then we need to fix that or lobby for that so that the these programs can be eligible for financial reimbursement if the student can't afford it, and all sorts of other things that go along with supporting workforce development, I mean, this particular style of workforce development.
Okay, thank you. Good comment. Anybody else? Anything else? Okay, thank you, Dr. Brown. And with that, we'll go on to our next agenda item, which is, I think it's Manufacture Nevada. Manufacturing Nevada, is that Dr. Myrtle Gonham? Item number 5, another information only item. And Tom Simpson, Director of Manufacturing Nevada. So the floor is all yours.
Regents, Chair, thank you for the opportunity. My name is Myrtle Gonham, for the record, MRIDUL. GAUTAM. So we will talk about Manufacturing Nevada, which is a unit of the University of Nevada, Reno. Manufacturing Nevada is the state's Manufacturing Excellence Partnership, commonly known as MEP. It's a program that is funded by the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST. It is embedded in research and innovation at the university, and it grants manufacturers across the state access to world-class expertise, research facilities, and infrastructure. Manufacturing Nevada is committed to addressing the workforce challenges in the state, and when I say workforce, it is very broad definition. There's a skilled technical workforce, a professional workforce, and we are committed to bringing manufacturing back to the U.S., promoting innovation and driving this state's economic prosperity and diversification. I'm going to pass the baton on to Tom Simpkins, who is the director of Manufacturing Nevada. Prior to coming to the university, Tom managed an international team with Emerson Automation Solutions, which is a unit of Emerson Electric. He was the director of that unit. He also served as the general manager of Panavise Products, which is a major manufacturer of precision tool holders. We're very fortunate to have Tom Simpkins serve as director of Manufacturing Nevada. He has changed the culture, the level of service we provide to the manufacturers, and the engagement level has just gone up drastically. So, Tom, it's all yours.
Thank you, Myrtle, for your kind words. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. For the record, my name is Tom Simpkins. I'm the director of Manufacturing Nevada. I'd like to just take a moment as we open here to acknowledge Dr. Myrtle Gautam, who himself is an accomplished mechanical engineer. You know, his remarkable engagement and collaborative efforts within the manufacturing industry and the whole state have been really instrumental in helping us grow. And Myrtle's always somebody who's willing to take on the big challenges facing humanity, facing on employers, facing an education. And he's played a significant role in helping support manufacturers across the state of Nevada. He utilizes his knowledge of industry trends. He's a mechanical engineer that I can take into manufacturers, and he can speak their language, which is a huge benefit. Through his dedication and leadership, he's built strong collaborative relationships and achieved impactful outcomes. Our university is fully aligned with the needs of Nevada manufacturers and is committed to providing unwavering support, resources, and a focused workforce development. So with that, we'd like to give you an overview of Manufacturing Nevada and hopefully make an exciting presentation for you today about manufacturing in Nevada. So this is our outline that we'll go through. We'll go through a few different things about what the program is and how it serves manufacturers statewide, as well as services the Manufacturing Outreach Center for all NCHE organizations, and then talk a little bit about the future of manufacturing and where it's headed on a workforce perspective. So what is Manufacturing Nevada itself? That's our logo, and we like to look at it as a stamp. We like to look at it as something that covers the entire state, something that you put work into. The name manufacturer connotates something that's happening right now and a future that we're building together throughout the entire state of Nevada. Nevada's potential to be a leader in manufacturing has no limits. Together, we can forge a stronger future by creating a connected, thriving manufacturing ecosystem for this generation and the next. Manufacturing Nevada is made up a team of industry experts. Most of these team members are manufacturing professionals that have had long careers and are now choosing to serve manufacturers in the state by connecting them with various resources throughout higher education, K through 12, and other economic support agencies throughout the state. We do cover the entire state, which we're very proud of. We have offices in Reno and Las Vegas, as well as Carson City, and we do have outreach and presence in the rural communities as well. As Myrtle alluded to, we are what's called the Manufacturing Extension Partnership for the state of Nevada. So this is a Department of Commerce, NIST-MET-funded program, where each state has a manufacturing extension partnership. And Manufacturing Nevada is proud to be the MEP for Nevada. What this national network does for us is it connects us on a national level to support each other and help each other to grow manufacturing in our respective states so that then we're supporting and growing manufacturing as a whole in the country. It's a great network, and it's one of the things that we're most proud of is the fact that this program provides an 18-to-1 ROI on the national level on its return of taxpayer funds. This is a program that is meant to go into manufacturers, help them find out what their needs are, and then connect them with resources in each state to serve those needs so that the manufacturing industry is strong and there's an ecosystem that's thriving. For us here in Nevada, it's a key partnership with a variety of different people that we work together hand in hand with shared vision to really grow the manufacturing workforce. And our success stems from the strength of our network and the relationships we forged with businesses, educational institutions, industries, and associations and government entities across Nevada and the U.S. So as I mentioned before, we're part of the University of Nevada, Reno, and we're also the industry outreach arm of manufacturing for ENGIE. We work very closely with GOED and the Governor's Office of Economic Development in their strategic plans and support for their growth of attraction and retention for manufacturers here in the state. And that collaboration and partnership is wonderful. Just a few examples of the education partners that we work with here is we have strong working relationships with all of these institutions listed there, and we're excited for the partnerships that they have with us. They come with open arms to want to work hand in hand to support manufacturing in the state. There's a lot of positive energy around manufacturing. It's something that people like to talk about. There's a good future involved. And I'm going to show why here in a minute, why these institutions are so eager to partner with us and partner with each other to really grow a manufacturing future that can benefit Nevada, our students, and our population as a whole. So how we help manufacturers gain access to manufacturing careers is a big part of it. You know, we connect manufacturers directly with university and college career services and departments. There on the right, you'll see a list of various campus career partners that we work very closely with in helping to connect those solutions there. We bring manufacturers into campuses, and we do tours there. We hold meetings. We do outreach events and let manufacturers see that and see the great things that are happening in these labs and these classrooms to create the future manufacturing professionals. We do on-campus manufacturing days where we do one-on-ones. We give students the opportunity to participate in panels and listen to manufacturing careers. And these aren't recruiting events. We bring manufacturing professionals off the factory floor in a panel so they can really hear what it's like to work in manufacturing and how what they're doing on campus ties into that. We also connect them with undergraduate and graduate research opportunities to get involved in the cutting edge research and development of advanced manufacturing throughout the state. When it comes to the career development here, what I have listed is these are the fastest growing careers in manufacturing right now. And I've listed them from top to bottom in like a vertical growth throughout the organization. And what you'll see here is there are employment opportunities at every level of a manufacturer. Laborers, material movers, shipping, receiving, and inventory clerks, assemblers and fabricators. These are our technical trades. These are two-year degrees. These are certificates. These are credit or non-credit initiatives that they need training for in order to do, and they're receiving that. For our frontline supervisors and general and operations managers, these are going to be in our four-year institutions and beyond. And what's great about manufacturing is it hits ENGIE at every level of education. There's opportunities in manufacturing everywhere for us to collaborate, and it can benefit the manufacturer in a variety of different areas. Some of the jobs in manufacturing that are really hopping right now are listed on that page, as well as automation, CNC machining, business, human resources, engineering, media, legal, safety, finance, welding, CDL drivers, project management, and more. And so our manufacturers can support students and colleges across the state and throughout each institution. We work very closely with our economic development partners to help them and have a joint vision on what's happening in manufacturing in the state and what the workforce needs are so that we can collectively grow it together. We also have very strong bonds and connections with our other workforce partners throughout the state to make those connections on what those needs are, and then we communicate those back into our higher education partners on a two-way kind of basis so that we understand what the needs are from employers. We help convene advisory boards. We help bring manufacturers to the table and represent them and their voice for what the needs are in the workforce. So a little bit about Manufacturing Nevada and why there's such a bright future for what we've done. As we know, Nevada is right in the heart of the Golden West. And what that means is we're strategically located for access to markets and manufacturing supply chains. And as a matter of fact, within one day's drive, you can reach 60 million customers in five major U.S. ports. And, you know, with our main corridors of I-15 and I-80, as well as 95 north-south, there's a lot of opportunity for manufacturers to be headquartered here and to run their operations so that they're very close to big markets and ports. And that's a huge strength of ours as a state, and it's a reason why manufacturing is here to stay. Now, a few numbers around job growth in manufacturing. So in the 11 years since 2011, there's been a 66% increase in manufacturing jobs throughout the state. Compare that to 7.3% in the United States. Manufacturing in Nevada is absolutely growing. And on the right there, you'll see some numbers between the Las Vegas Metro and the Reno Metro. And what I want to highlight there is you'll see that in 2022, there's over 29,000 manufacturing jobs in the Las Vegas Metro and about 29,000 jobs in manufacturing in the Reno Metro. It's balanced throughout the state. Manufacturing is not just in one area. This is something that touches all areas of the state. We have manufacturing opportunities in the eastern part of the state as well. That are increasing. And so manufacturing is something that the whole state can benefit from and something that we can really look towards there. The average earnings in those jobs, as I mentioned, it's from entry level all the way up to management, is just nearly $90,000 in annual wages. And there's just over 2,000 payrolled manufacturing business locations in the state. These numbers are only set to continue and grow. But the key in helping that happen is growth. Now, are the robots coming for our jobs? Well, yeah, they are. They're coming for some of them. But for every one job created by automation, another three will be created to maintain those systems and install those systems. So the World Economic Forum in 2020 predicted that robots will displace 75 million jobs by 2025, but create 133 million new ones. So what does that look like in manufacturing? On that picture on the right there, you'll see a robotic arm that's palletizing that product that's coming off that manufacturing assembly line. Now, that could have been a physical job by somebody before, and yes, that job did get replaced by a robot. But in order to maintain that system and program that system, build that system, there needed to be three more people that were hired with a higher wage, a safer environment. The picture on the left shows an environment where the otherwise would be very that would require very many safety measures in order to operate efficiently. A robot can do that and be more safe and efficient and provide a better stable job opportunity. And that's our future in Nevada. Our workforce will always have a little bit of strain just due to the population size of our state. But if we invest in automation and help our manufacturers automate and continue to produce students that understand what this looks like and how to make this work on a factory floor, we will be set up to be this regional leader of manufacturing in the heart of the Golden West. So some of the top manufacturing industries throughout the state, some of these you probably know, some of these you may not. Battery manufacturing, ornamental and architectural metalwork, that's essentially sign and marquee manufacturing, big industry. Ice cream and frozen dessert. So you may not think of food as manufacturing. It is. You know, the process of making a repeatable product is absolute manufacturing. Extruded vinyl products, spice and extract manufacturing, our climate is really, really good for that. Urethane and foam product manufacturing, prefabricated building manufacturing, industrial valve manufacturing, electronic connector manufacturing, just some of the few. So we have a very diverse manufacturing industry here in our state that can thrive and fit within different areas, and we can produce different students and programs that really match each one of those. So a few ways that Manufacturing Nevada helps manufacturers is through really supporting them in different areas of their business and different ways that they need to work through things. A few examples that I'd like to highlight recently. University of Nevada, Las Vegas, we've got great connections with the Career Studio there and the engineering school. And we recently helped within the last few weeks just place two mechanical engineering grads into a very specific job that they were ready for and the manufacturer needed for them. With Western Nevada College, we recently did a rural PLC training event with their mobile lab, which we're excited about. We're taking a classroom to rural communities and teaching a manufacturer and their employees on how to use these systems. And we also work very closely with Team CC in bringing out safety and quality audits and support audits there. And we do that by leveraging a variety of resources. We also provide consulting service for manufacturers. When manufacturers come into the state and they don't know where to start, they don't know who to talk to, we're there. We're there to support them and get them connected to the right people and the right resources so that they can be here and thrive. So a few ways that we've contributed to Nevada's manufacturing economy is listed here. We measure ourselves based on how many jobs that we're increasing or helping manufacturers retain. what they're doing on their business-wise, on their sales revenue side, if we're helping them grow their business, retain existing business, investing in a new technology. We measure that. Are we helping them to advance and be prepared for the future? Are we helping them to be more efficient in cost savings? And do we really want to move forward and build strong relationships that are to last? And we absolutely do. So we have a few statements from manufacturers. We'd love to just let you hear from them directly on how they feel about manufacturing in Nevada and manufacturing Nevada and what we do. The first one is going to be from Leo Schaefer. He's the president and owner of PR Diamond, which is a professional saw blades and cutting equipment manufacturer.
Hi, my name is Leo Schaefer. I'm the CEO of PR Diamond Products. Our facility is located in Las Vegas near Sunset and Decatur. We are a diamond tool manufacturer and supplier, along with being an equipment dealer for other manufacturers' equipment that operate our consumables. Manufacture Nevada has helped our business over the last 9 years in different ways. And one in particular way is on helping us to export, connecting us with the Department of Commerce, connecting us with grant opportunities and support, and also looking at our operations and helping us to make those more efficient, and then also helping us to plan as we've grown. In addition to that, Manufacturing Nevada has supported our workforce needs really by connecting us with different programs that are offered that we just don't know about. And that's helped. We've been able to look at staffing. We have an intern coming in for the summer now as a result of a connection made from Manufacturing Nevada. I would say at the end of the day, the biggest thing that Manufacturer does is it supports what we're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish. And they do it specific for each company, and they've done it specific for our company. So with that, I just have one thing left to say, and that is thank you, Manufacturer Nevada. Please keep fighting the fight. Hi, my name is Leo Schaefer. I'm the CEO of...
Thanks, Claudio. Okay, the next one is from SNC Corp, and that's Eric Chalm. He's their defense and space manufacturer here in Sparks, Nevada.
Hi there. My name is Eric Chalm. I'm the Senior Process Improvement Manager for Sierra Nevada Corporation here in Sparks, Nevada. I just want to take a minute to talk to you about all the great things that Manufacturer Nevada has done for us. We've utilized them to help relay out one of our production lines and create a single piece flow, really improve the efficiency and in the throughput of that production line. We've also leveraged their offerings in developing our workforce skills. We've sent a lot of our technicians to their Lean 101 with a simulation program, and we've also taken advantage of their root cause problem solving offering. So we love working with the team at Manufacturer Nevada, and we greatly appreciate their support.
And the last one we'll show you is from Jeff Wayne. They're a printed circuit board manufacturer in North Las Vegas.
My name is Jeffrey Wayne. I'm the CEO of NAS Electronics. We're located up in North Las Vegas off of Craig and the I-15. We're an electronics manufacturer. We do contract manufacturing, and we manufacture circuit boards, printed circuit board assemblies, as well as some final assembly. We reached out originally to Manufacturing Nevada to help us with some lean initiatives and training. They helped us develop some of our higher level managers and get the lean basics instilled into our staff. And then we rolled into some of our workforce development as our company grew from 7 or 8 employees up to about 35 or 40. And they helped plug us in with some of the OJT and youth internship programs. It's been a huge help in offsetting our costs for training.
Okay, thanks for that. I hope you see the excitement with these manufacturers and hearing from them directly about how Manufacturer Nevada can support them. We thrive on working with people. A little bit now about the future. What will it take to continue to be a regional manufacturing leader from a workforce perspective, from a higher education perspective? Well, in order to be this advanced manufacturing hub of the West, we really need the trained workforce. It's not going to happen without that workforce that understands technology. And we're working on that, and each one of our higher education institutions is working on that to help them adopt technology. You know, there's significant barriers to adopting it. Most of it has to do with knowledge and expertise, but there's other things that manufacturers just need help navigating their way through in order for this to thrive. And really, manufacturing has the opportunity to be that driver, one of the main drivers, to help us diversify our economy for a stronger Nevada. And we're talking about resiliency, and this isn't at the expense of any other industry. It's the fact that there's a thriving opportunity of manufacturers that are here, that are moving here, that want to stay here, that want to build here. But they need some support in order to do so around the workforce. You know, manufacturing for us in the state is something that we're still in the early days of building a really strong foundation, having a workforce that is turnkey for the manufacturers. And so it's a key driver, and it, you know, the manufacturing in our state will go as far as we can when we support it with workforce and advanced manufacturing technology. So a few comments, maybe some things to just take away and to think about as we've kind of presented here today, as we wrap up. So as Nevada manufacturing grows, and it's growing at a blistering pace, we've seen that. So does the need to support that ecosystem and to help it thrive. And that includes the continued attraction and retention of manufacturers. Each one of our NC organizations has strong relationships directly with manufacturers, which is fantastic, which is something we champion and support. We need to continue that. We need to hear their voice. We need to continue to hear what they have to say. And a coordinated effort to support manufacturing. This is something that, as we're all moving in quickly in various directions, it would really help the manufacturing industry if we could have a basic set of standards that we work from, whether it the programs we offer, whether it is credit versus non-credit, whether it's stackable. As I mentioned, you know, there's nothing stopping a high school graduate to go into a manufacturer, start working, and then get their certificates and training while they're working through our technical schools. And then if they so choose and it works for them and they want to move in their career, go on and get a four-year degree at a university and grow in that company. There's so much opportunity for that. But in order for that to happen, a little more support with each other and kind of singing off the same song sheet, as it were, would be helpful. Some support for apprenticeship and internship programs for manufacturing professionals. Just highlighting those and understanding what the needs are. We can help out with that. What are the needs? What are manufacturers asking for? And then providing support internally to get those students connected to those opportunities. And as I mentioned, alignment and upward education paths for manufacturing professionals. Let's make it easy for them to have that transferable skill. There's nothing more valuable as an employee to have that transferable skill that you can take with you from employer to employer, from town to town in the state, and say, I am a manufacturing professional, and this is what I do, and it's my career, and it's a good career, and it pays well, it helps me to live here, and it helps me afford living here with my family. With that, we're excited to take any questions from you. We appreciate your time today.
With that, do we have any questions for any members of the committee?
I do. Regent Del Carlo, Heather does.
Yeah, that's Regent Brown to me. Okay, Regent Brown, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry. Okay, so I want to go back to, I think it was slide 24 when you were talking about the skill level. And you talked about displaced jobs being replaced. And I know you don't have a crystal ball, but is there a skilling gap in those replacements? And then I would ask, you know, are we ensuring our institutions are able to train in that delta? You kind of touched on it quickly on 34, but you didn't exactly talk about our institutions and how do we help them be prepared for this replaced jobs.
The skills gap is enormous. When you think of a laborer position that is, boxing and palletizing and really doing kind of labor jobs there, to understanding how to set up an automation machine. There is a major skills gap there. And that's really where our institutions can come in and fill that gap. When you go and look at the labs of our institutions, these advanced manufacturing labs, they've got the automation, they've got the equipment, they've got the robots, and you know they've got everything that we need there. But what isn't always supported with the manufacturers, they have an employee that they'd love to move out of that laborer job and up into something else with those skill sets. And they need some support on how to do that, some direction at least, or and make it easy. Make that pathway really well lighted for them to take those employees and say, listen, we want you to grow with us. And so the capacity is there within our institutions. I think it's the pathways that would be helpful, better lighted.
Okay, thank you. And anyone else have a question?
Yeah, sorry, I'm just going to do a quick follow-up. I apologize.
Okay, go ahead.
That's right. Thank you. And obviously, you know, there will be some additional training. And just for your situational awareness, I actually work at LVGEA. And so I work in economic development all the time. I feel like I have these conversations. I specifically focus on tech entrepreneurs. So it's slightly different. But, you know, is there like a standard operating procedure when you see a manufacturer that is interested in Nevada to go out to our institutions and say, hey, we are going to need jobs in X category. Are there any takers? I know I'm simplifying it, but like, is that built out there in that way?
There is on the higher level. And a lot of the manufacturers that are large manufacturers that are ones in our, you know, on the press releases and things like that, those discussions are had and, hey, we're going to bring this many jobs into the state and here's what those jobs are. But 75% of all of manufacturing is small and medium manufacturing. And so what that means is the bulk of it is going to be several manufacturers that have less than 500 employees that are coming into the state that maybe they just move and there's not a lot of connection there. And economic development does a fantastic job of integrating them when they know they're there. But when they don't know they're there, you know, having a toolkit or a very clear playbook for those manufacturers on education needs, on what they need and what their employees look like would certainly be helpful. They have that information. They're very well planned out when they set up an operation. But a mechanism on how for us to communicate that back to higher education would be good.
Regent Brown, Myrtle Gotham, for the record. So exactly what Tom said, 75% of the manufacturers are SMEs. Our efforts have to be focused on these small and medium-sized enterprises. When it came to, I'll speak to the North, the industry here, Tesla, the Panasonic, anytime they come to town, they will contact the president, they'll contact me, they'll contact somebody over here, engineering dean, the science dean, the business college dean. And, you know, they tell us what they need. If I go back 6 years, we were the first battery program at the undergraduate level in the country because the industry which was coming to town needed that. So we do respond as the as a need requires, but we do help the SMEs.
So it sounds like this might be just like a one-off as they're coming and looking at Nevada. Obviously, we have great tax structures. We have, you know, ample opportunity, but there might be a conversation to be had to how we actually fold in our higher ed institutions from an economic development standpoint, from your organization, maybe? I mean, am I missing something there? Because I know you touched on it just for a second, that it would be nice to have that, but maybe I'll save that for new business.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from the committee or any other regents? With that, we'll go to President Dalpy had a question.
Yes, thank you, Regent DeCarlo. So I just wanted to, Kyle Dalpy for the record, I just wanted to thank Manufacturing Nevada, Tom and Myrtle, and the group for all the work they do. As a small school, reaching out to our vast area is almost impossible, but with them keeping the connections with the small employers, we're able to deploy instruction as needed. So we appreciate it. Also, like the new logo, I know we should all know what industry excellence stands for, but Manufacturing Nevada is much more to the point of what you do. So thank you for all of that, and we look forward to working with you in the future.
Okay, is that everything? This was an information-only item. So I appreciate so much Dr. Gautam and Tom, your presentation. And I agree with you that there's nothing but opportunity in Nevada. And if we can take everything you just shared with us, plus everything that Matt and Dennis shared with us in the last presentation, plus work with our interim committee that's going to look at our funding finance formula, I see sunny days ahead, not doom and gloom for Nevada. But that's who I am. So thank you very much. And with that, we'll go to new business. And I know there is new business, so I think anybody on the committee have new business before I go to Regent Brown? Okay, Regent Brown, it's all yours.
Thank you, Regent Brown, for the record. Okay, so I have two things for new business. One I'm still kind of noodling out, but the first one, I'd like to streamline the vernacular that we use across our institutions so it mirrors our community partners and we're better defining what non-credit programs look like or how they are defined.
I love your suggestion, and that's why it's good to bring new blood in that comes from different backgrounds. Really.
I try. Thank you. And then the second thing, I think I'm going to leave it open-ended, but then to have a follow-up conversation that we strengthen the community partnership relationship with not just manufacturing, but with enterprise businesses and our higher ed institutions.
That's a good one too. Anybody else? Okay, with that, we'll go to public comment. Do we have any public comment in Elko?
No public comment in Elko this time.
Thank you very much. Do we have any public comment in Las Vegas?
There is no public comment in Las Vegas.
And is there any public comment in Reno?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Dr. Molly Apple. That's APPEL for the record. I'm a full-time faculty member and the incoming faculty senate chair at Nevada State, despite the emergency shirt I bought downstairs because I was cold in this room earlier today. I just wanted to say I appreciate the opportunity to learn about how non-credit workforce programs are offering fluid educational and advancement opportunities for our public. In the future, I would appreciate seeing further information on who are the faculty teaching these programs, how they are selected, how programs may be navigating scheduling based on enrollment, related compensation, and other program or departmental needs. I think this would help us more fully understand the educational framework of these programs, and particularly if NSHE professional employees are involved in their operation. Thank you so much. I know it's the end of a long day.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Appel, and congratulations as the incoming Faculty Senate Chair. And I, too, have my University of Nevada, Reno shirt on today, and I'll soon be taking that off. All I need to do is throw my dress on. I'm ready to go. And I do want to point out that Regent Brown is wearing a Vegas Golden Knights T-shirt, and we're all going to be rooting for the Golden Knights to win Game 3 tonight. And I'm going to have it on my phone at the wedding, but don't tell anybody. With that, I'm going to call this meeting closed and have a good evening. Those of you going to the ballpark tonight, root for the Aces, please. Good night, everyone.